This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. Anything a bank can do, they can do it, and they've got great rates. Usually can beat the bank's rates and give you that credit union experience that can't be beat. And their customer service is unreal. Just friendly, on top of it. Attention to detail, it's unmatched. They'll take great care of you. Walk into one of over 30 branches here in East Tennessee, or just head online to tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out, longtime sponsor of the show, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. All right, so we head towards the LSU game, where they are probably going to be undermanned on some level. I mean, I guess not that we want anybody hurt, but I mean that.
No, of course not.
Like that's.
But it's two really good players. I mean, it's two
stars.
That's
a good thing for Tennessee's chances to win the basketball game, right? And I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like right now we'll take any help we can get, especially because this stretch coming up is. It's pretty tough. You got LSU, you got Florida. They're both at home. I mean, those are huge games in conference. You're projected to win them both now. You didn't have to go on the road to Texas. That's going to be tough. Top. 20-ish team.
They just lost again.
They did lose last night.
Did they lose last night?
No, that's not. Sorry, that's not correct.
They've lost their last two.
I thought they had lost last night, and I realized that was a women's score. Mm. I believe is what happened.
Yeah, they lost at Iowa State, and then they lost to Kansas State over the weekend, I think. Let's see.
They lost Tuesday to Kansas State. Iowa State on Saturday. So, all of a sudden, if you're able to beat LSU, it's not A&M lost, did lose to Kentucky last night, as we talked about. So, those are your next four games, LSU, Florida, Texas, Texas A&M. And then after that, it gets a good bit easier for your next three before Kentucky and Arkansas back-to-back. So, It's not that tough of a schedule, really, the rest of the way. I mean... I feel like though you have more coin flip games than we've had so far. I mean, so far in conference, you've kind of had three of the top teams and three of the pretty poor teams, and you've won and lost those games on the correct side of whichever way those games go. But Florida and Texas A&M are and Mississippi State, I feel like, are three of those teams that are more in the middle of the league. Like, there are obviously all teams that you can beat, maybe even should beat, depending on the night. But there are teams that definitely can also beat you.
It's a good little stretch of games. You think LSU, you think we can win that one?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can. I don't know. KenPom has us as a one-point favorite to win, 54%.
Okay. I mean, feel a little bit hollow with them having two guys out, but, I mean, that's what happened to us at Alabama.
At Alabama, yeah. It evens out.
And I guess, kind of what happened to them over there last night. Two guys go down, or I guess one went down in the game, and Pinson's still out. Did they ever announce exactly, I mean, obviously it was his knee, but did they ever say exactly what happened, like sprained knee? Did he tear something? Is he coming back?
I don't know. Xavier Pinson. Said it was a game time decision for last night.
Oh, really?
So, I don't know. I guess there's still a chance he plays against against Tennessee on Saturday.
Okay. But yeah, I'm not seeing anything really.
That could have just been, you know, a little
bit. Well, yeah, he could be a game time decision for like the next.
Yeah, three or four games.
Right.
Sprained knee and bone bruise.
Bone bruise?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had that. Okay. Should be a good crowd, right? People excited about this one. Another top 25 matchup, Thompson Bowling. You haven't lost a game at home yet. Right? I'm not making that up. Got to protect home court.
Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. You lost at Bama, two LSU, Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah.
Villanova lost last night.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Who'd they play?
They played...
Oh, Marquette.
Speak of the devil.
Mm-hmm. And Xavier snuck one out against DePaul.
57-54 Marquette over Villanova.
Is it Auburn right now? Class of the league and the country? It seems like if they stay healthy, they've kind of got all the answers.
I don't know about right now the country. I mean, definitely the SEC, unless something changes. I mean, they made mincemeat of Georgia, which, I mean, they were at home.
Did you see the halftime score? I mean,
yeah.
Apparently Pearl was a little upset with the second half effort, but I think they were up 25 or 6 at the break, scored 50-something points in the first half, mm-hmm. and then just kind of coasted, still won by 23. But, yeah, it was 52-27 at halftime. Georgia's not very good. It seems like now that they have Kessler, I mean, that's just... It's a great inside presence. Probably, he might be one of the best rim defenders in the SEC right now, and he's been very efficient. He had what, like 15 points last night. He's been getting double digit rebounds a lot. He's good. Obviously, they have Jabari Smith. He should have come here. Those two guards you love, makes me sick, honestly. Auburn.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Auburn.
What are you going to do? Drink our milkshake. Not looking forward to that one, to be honest with you.
Mm-mm. I mean, it is here, you know.
I know.
We got that going for us.
I just said we are undefeated at home for now.
Yeah, that's what you said.
You're not going to be favored in that game.
These next three home games will test that theory. You go 3-0 in these next three and... People are going to be singing a different tune.
Who is it? Florida, LSU, and then?
Texas A&M. Well, after the Texas game.
After the Texas game, right. Yep.
Three out of the next four at home.
Did you watch that A&M Kentucky game? I haven't watched them play. Are they good or are they just?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, they have to be pretty good. They were ahead for most of the game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Matt Jones called it a gutsy win for Kentucky.
Oh, gutsy.
Coming back and, you know. Battling.
Yeah.
So good for them. It's really great.
I mean, I watched A&M settle for a bunch of bad threes late, miss them all, and lose. That's pretty much what I saw. A&M was 1 of 22 from the 3-point line. Yeah, you heard me right.
Wow.
That's 4.5% for scoring at home. 1 of 22.
That's not going to get it done.
Mm-mm.
That is. Remarkably bad. I can't name a single player for A&M, though. I like Buzz Williams a lot, but I don't... A&M basketball just never really moves the needle for me. LSU.
Mm-hmm. See, A&M was 5 of 13 from the free throw line. That's 38.5%.
That's also pretty bad. So a bad shooting night for the Aggies is what you're saying. What'd they shoot from the field overall?
39.4, which was actually better than Kentucky's 36.2. Kentucky was 22.2 from 3, 4 of 18. And but Kentucky did go 18 of 26 from the line. Somehow, on the road, Kentucky shoots 26 free throws. A&M shoots 13.
Hmm.
Imagine that.
Sounds about right. Pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now that they look so good against us. Now they're going to get the Kentucky back, and the whistles tend to favor that.
Right.
No stranger to getting calls on the road. Big Blue.
Rebounding was pretty even. Kentucky had the 3 rebound edge. Which is, pretty good if you're within 3 rebounds.
I was
going to
say, that's
Kentucky. Like, A&M did have a problem late in the game. A couple key offensive rebounds for Kentucky kind of really hurt them. A&M was down 2, got a stop, couldn't get the rebound like twice. It was just bad. Tshiebwe had 14 rebounds.
It's pretty good. Yeah. How many points?
He only had 8 points. Didn't even shoot that much, really.
If it's not putbacks or dunks, he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
He did hit that one jumper against us, because of course he did.
Yeah, not a volume guy necessarily.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
So, that's where we are. Big one against LSU. You're 3-3 in the league. They
get the extra day of rest. I like that.
They're gonna be. Even if both those guys play, right? LSU's not gonna be 100%. Like, there's no way, guys aren't full bore, even if they play. And then I'd say there's a good chance one or both doesn't play. And, this is kind of your opening to win this game. Then if you can get a big rivalry win over Florida at home, set you up pretty well. Get to 5-3. Got some easier games coming up after that. Mississippi State's going to be a key one as well. Your current SEC standings are Auburn 6-0, Kentucky 5-1, A&M 4-1, Mississippi State 3-2, Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, and Tennessee are all 3-3. So, been talking about it, being one of the top 4 teams is, that puts you in position, obviously, mm-hmm. in the SEC tournament in a good spot, but I feel like that kind of gets you on a certain seed line probably in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
it's going to be
yeah.
much more favorable than if you kind of lose a tiebreaker for, 6th or 7th. And right now it's just all jumbled up too, because Florida's 2-3. I feel like that's the cutoff with kind of where the good teams are, and then teams below that have major issues. So, right now you're like a half game out of being last out of the teams that kind of have it figured out, but you're also just a couple games out of being like 3rd. So
yep.
it's right, and you're going to play those teams. So it's all right there for Tennessee.
Normally I don't like playing the same team in, like a 2-week stretch, or in some cases it's like, 2 out of 3 games. I kind of like getting LSU so close to the first game.
Yeah.
You got to think they're going to come out at least a little bit motivated. They got kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
The dunks, the runs, that was not a good performance at all. Still had a chance late to, get yourself in it and played stupid basketball. Hopefully they come out with their hair on fire a little bit for this one.
Well, if you beat LSU, you'll then be a game ahead of them. You'll at least, at worst, maintain a half game lead over Florida. And then if you beat Florida, you'll be a game and a half ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 2 of the teams you're tied with or half game or tied with coming up. And, that'll be huge.
And we only have Florida once this year, right? Yeah, okay.
And then Mississippi State's a half game ahead of you. So, this absolutely crucial stretch for Tennessee basketball. We'll come back more hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 continues from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's Thursday. It's practically the weekend.
Practically.
Yeah. Gonna be here before you know it. I know Davey's pumped for Saturday.
He's just pumped up for everything right now.
Gave us the hand signal.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Yeah, 4:30, Bengals, Titans.
I've never seen him this fired up, honestly.
Right.
I don't even know how he can contain some of this energy.
I'm just glad I'm not crazy. Like, I'm sitting here and I like keep feeling stuff hit like my shoulder, and I'm like, what in the world is that? I guess stuff's falling on me.
Sorry about that. It's my fault.
Yeah. Worse has happened to me.
What was that, a magnet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Those are helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. That's a big weekend. You got the Tennessee basketball game. You got the football games. Incredible. So 6 o'clock. I mean, hopefully the Titans have just already, you know, buried the Bengals by then. I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah,
I mean, they got an hour and a half to just get up three scores.
I feel like I should be more nervous about that game than I am. Feels like Tennessee's getting healthy at the right time, primed and ready. Derrick Henry went through some padded contact yesterday. Apparently felt real good afterwards. Sounds like he might be ready to roll.
Well, you know, you get a great appetizer to the NFL game starting on Saturday. I don't know if you remember, but Kentucky travels to Auburn at 1 o'clock on CBS.
Oh, that's at 1?
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah. Start your sports viewing day with that, and then you know, get you a little break, and then watch some Titans, and Tennessee LSU, a little flip back and forth. Titans will hit halftime, hopefully not at the time. The Vols will hit halftime.
And then Packers 49ers to wrap the night up, right?
That is correct.
8:15.
Yeah.
The frozen tundra. Weather looks interesting for Saturday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's going to be a pretty shell-shocking environment, I'd imagine, for 49ers.
Actually, I'm crazy. Yeah, the Titans' halftime might even beat the start of the Vols game. Just depends. Maybe Titans-Bengals, you know, being a playoff game, would kind of get a little bit of a late start, be a little slow. That time, and it goes to halftime, and then you can watch all the beginning of the game, basketball game.
Two TVs set up, man. I'm not missing.
It's a way to go.
I'm
right?
not missing anything.
It's a way to go.
It's the best thing I ever did.
Yep. Smart.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, the other two games, of course, you got the Rams at the Bucks at 3 o'clock and the Bills Chiefs 6:30.
How are you feeling about that one, Hickman?
You nervous?
A little bit.
Bucks 3-point favorite?
I'm only nervous because of how banged up we are. Mm-hmm. The O-line, Jensen, Tristan Wirfs, that could be pretty interesting. But I trust Tom Brady to come up with a solid game plan that gives the Bucks the best.
He's going to come up with the game plan?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
The defense is looking great, though, again, so that's a positive. They did a good job shutting the Eagles out for about 3.5 quarters last week. But then again, it is the Eagles. It's Matthew Stafford. Guy's won one playoff game.
Yeah, but it was a pretty good performance.
It was.
Monday night.
That's behind them, though. They got the hot game out. They're going to come out cold against the Bucks.
Mm.
I would sacrifice a 60-point Tennessee loss on Saturday for the Bucks to win Sunday.
What is wrong with you? I mean, 60 points?
Yeah.
You didn't have to go that far at all. How about why can't they both just win? Wouldn't that be okay, too? Maybe you don't have to sacrifice anything. Maybe it just happens that way.
I mean, what are the odds we get both?
I'd say probably pretty good. All right, but you're talking about the Vols, right?
Yeah.
About the basketball game? Okay. Yeah. Make sure you didn't think the Titans would lose by 60. I mean, we're favored over LSU. I mean, I haven't seen the line yet, but, you know, BPI and KenPom, they've got us favored in that game. There's a good chance you win it. And then, I mean, Bucks are – it's a small favorite, but they are favored over the Rams.
That Titans-Bengals game.
You,
I'm pumped for that. I probably won't even watch Tennessee play LSU.
Why are you out on?
I want to watch the Titans play.
Well, you can do both. That's what we're just talking about.
I have a feeling the Bengals
you've just
Titans
you've
game
just given
close.
Up. You think so?
Yeah, I
can't.
Think so.
I have no idea.
I don't
honestly.
Know.
I could see the Titans, you know, coming out and just pounding their eyes shut, or I could see it being a pretty high scoring shootout.
I'm thinking shootout.
Weather looks pretty good Nashville Saturday. I mean, just a little cold, obviously, but I don't think rain or any bad wind or anything like that.
Okay.
Davey will be there.
In attendance.
Russell will be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, carry the fight.
Oh, man. Perfect sunshine Saturday. High 40.
Oh, up to 40 now.
Yeah.
That's just cozy. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Burrow's pretty good, though. I mean, I got to give that guy some credit. He's just a damn winner. Got a lot of weapons. But at some point, and I know that was their first playoff win since, what, like 91, 92?
Longer than that, wasn't it?
I thought that was it.
Maybe.
It was the 90 season, but I think it happened in
91. Happened in 91? Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
It's a road game. They've
never
won, right?
They've never won.
Yeah, never won a playoff road game. History. Up against it. But that's going to be a fascinating game because I feel like the Titans' offense, you know, they're, like I said, they're getting healthy. But what is the Derrick Henry game plan? I mean, is it going to be full workload? Is he actually back? Do they kind of ease him back into it? Because you've got a couple of young backs who I've thought have done a nice job in his absence. I think A.J. Brown, fully healthy. Julio, about as healthy as he has been all season, coming off a touchdown catch in the last game. Defense playing much better than they were at the start of the season. It's a good opportunity for Tennessee.
How much are they favored by? Do I know that?
That is a good question. Let's see if I can find that real quick. I mean, they are favored, right?
3.5.
Would assume so. Okay.
I mean, all these lines are pretty close this week. What's the biggest one?
It's like 5.5.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Is that the Packers, I'm assuming?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this weekend we'll make up
for it. No, it's up to 6 now over the 49ers for the Packers.
Okay.
Last weekend was bad. Hopefully this weekend makes up for it.
Yeah, not a lot of close games last weekend. I mean,
Cowboys 49ers was fun. Anytime the Cowboys lose, never complain about that.
I'm with you. I'm with that.
That Bills-Chiefs game, though.
That's got the potential to be
a classic.
A real good one. I'm assuming the Chiefs are favored. Chiefs favored by 2.
Yeah, basically saying the Bills would be favorite in a neutral field, probably.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they? The Bills won in Kansas City earlier in the year, did they not?
Easily.
38-20.
I'm going to jump in here. I've been behind. So the key to beating the Chiefs is generate a pass rush with only using 4. That's why the Titans beat them 27-3. It's why the Bills blew them out. Whenever you're able to drop 7 back into coverage, Patrick Mahomes has really struggled, and both Titans and Bills have done a really good job of just getting pressure, only sending their front. You look at this game, I think the Bills are actually going to win this one probably by about 10 points. This is a game to where they are the better team. I know the Chiefs have been hot as of late, and it's really whenever you look at it across the NFL, the national media, they get infatuated with the star players, but really if you want to determine who is going to win these games in the playoffs, I would really look at the trenches. And the Bills are better than Chiefs on both sides of the ball in that area, and the Titans are better than the Bengals on both sides of that ball. And that for that reason, I have the Titans and the Bills playing in the AFC Championship.
Did it sound anyone else like he was kind of whispering there? Sounded like it. I guess because you don't have your headphones on, so.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
That was all enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It sounded a little different, so.
Okay.
It's all good.
Third hour, I can give you a lot more NFL takes if that's what you're looking for.
Maybe. Maybe not. Well, that's the NFL slate. The rest of the SEC, we mentioned Kentucky at Auburn's at 1. You also have Vanderbilt at Florida at 1. Georgia's at South Carolina at 3:30. Ole Miss is at Mississippi State at 4. LSU-Tennessee, of course, 6 o'clock. The game is on ESPN, live from Thompson Bowling Arena. Tickets as low as $21.
Really?
Apparently.
That's kind of a surprise.
Missouri at Alabama is at 6 as well. And then the nightcap is Texas A&M at Arkansas, 8:30. From Bud Walton Arena.
The Bud.
So there you go. come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Cheer on the Big Orange with White Claw Hard Seltzer. Made pure with their unique brew pure process, White Claw is crafted with quality ingredients and made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavor. With only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar, White Claw Hard Seltzer won't weigh you down. Available now in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Pick up a variety pack and try them all. White Claw Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly.
Premier Pools and Spas, the world's largest pool builder, is now serving Knoxville and surrounding areas. We're building pools for this summer. If you've been thinking about a pool, it's time to go Premier. Premier Pools and Spas builds custom gunite pools and spas along with a full line of the top fiberglass pool and spa models on the market. Go Premier for the ultimate in pool and spa design. Premier Pools and Spas has the top designers in the industry ready to help you transform your backyard. Go Premier for the best equipment.
This segment of the program is brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Each win means that much more in the NFL playoffs. That's why FanDuel is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional round. You can bet $5 on any team to win, and you win $150 if you pick the winner. Just pick which team you want to go with. We mentioned the odds favor a Packers win. That's the biggest spread this weekend, or you can go home state Tennessee Titans if you think they're a lock to get past the Bengals, or you can use the buy a win strategy if you want. Bet $5 on the Bengals, and either you get the Titans winning or you get $150. So that's one route you can go as well. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sports book. It's FanDuel. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm sure I'll be on it all this weekend with all these good SEC basketball games rolling and the NFL playoffs. It's safe and secure with best in-class customer service. And when you win, they'll pay you out in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss your chance. If you haven't signed up yet, a $5 bet, you pick a winner in the NFL this weekend, and you win $150. To get the deal, you just have to use our promo code 3OUT. That's 3-O-U-T. And you have to deposit $10. That's it. Deposit 10, and you can bet up to 5 with 30-1 odds and pick a winner on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And if you're already on FanDuel, you can refer a friend and get that $50 in site credit. Plus, your friend will get $50 as well. So don't forget to take advantage of that if you're already using the FanDuel app like we are here at Fan Run Radio. Again, promo code 3OUT if you're new. Sign up this weekend and use our promo code 3OUT. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. Bonus fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Stetson Bennett has decided to return to Georgia for, I guess, his super senior season next year. And JT Daniels is transferring again.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of get it. You're a quarterback. You want to play. I mean, he's not going to get the job now.
No. A little surprised with Bennett, though. I mean, why not go out on top? I mean, he's not going to play in the NFL. You've accomplished something that hadn't been done at Georgia in 42 years. I think I would just I'd call it square. Just live in Athens forever and be a legend.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. Like, aren't you just... Who does Georgia open with next year? I mean, I can look this up, but don't they have a big game out of the gate? Or maybe I'm just thinking of the Oregon-Alabama game.
No, I think they do. I think you're right. I can't remember who it is.
I mean, what happens if Stetson Bennett, like, practice starts and, like, Gunnar Stockton's just so much better?
I think you go with the guy who's better.
I mean, maybe Stetson Bennett just doesn't care. Maybe he told the coaches, like, hey, I'm going to come back.
It is Oregon.
It's Oregon for Georgia.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was Alabama or Georgia. I knew one of them.
Does Bama play Texas?
And the D coordinator. from Georgia is going to be the Oregon head coach.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning?
Yes. Landanning.
So, I don't know. Maybe Stetson Bennett's just fine with that. Maybe he's like, hey, I'm going to come back, but, you know, if I get beat out, it's fine. Like,
Bama opens up with Utah State. They are at Texas week two.
I guess there's no pressure on Stetson Bennett. Like, if he sucks and gets benched, like.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. You've kind of at least allowed for the argument that you became more than a game manager and won the national championship. I do. I mean, I guess what's the upside? They go undefeated with him at quarterback the whole way. He makes even more plays than he did this year. Maybe the defense isn't quite as good, but they still win all their games. And he really goes off as like, man, Stetson Bennett became a real quarterback. Like, he really carried the team this year. Like, they won a championship on the defense, and now they've won a championship because of his quarterback play in the offense. I don't think that'll happen, but it's a pretty good gig. I mean,
yeah, sure.
And there's really not that much downside. I mean, what's the worst thing that happens? He gets hurt, doesn't play well, gets benched, whatever, plays like garbage. I don't think people are really going to be that mad at him about it. I mean, because he did do enough to help him win the Natty this year. I mean, they'll be mad about it in the moment if he, like, throws a couple picks and they lose to Florida.
I don't know. You think, like, what's George's expectation for next year?
National champion.
You think so? I mean, I guess maybe that just is the expectation all the time now.
I don't know.
I mean, they're losing a bunch, though, aren't they?
Yeah. But, I mean, they're
– I mean, obviously, yeah, they're still going to be loaded.
Well, and don't they still – like, they have Vandergriff and Stockton coming in. I mean, you're talking about a five-star and a four-star that – I mean, I don't know. Like, if I'm Kirby Smart, I want to be able to – I'm going to tell Stetson Bennett, like, look, buddy, if you're not the best guy, like, we're going to go with one of these other guys. Because I need to be able to go to Brock Vandergriff and Gunnar Stockton and say
– I could definitely see that, you know, they start out with Bennett, and then as the season goes on, one of those guys probably emerges and takes it from him. I mean, they're just more talented than he is. Now, if he keeps winning, maybe they'll, you know, bench him. But I think it would be wise of Kirby to start getting somebody some meaningful snaps next year so that you're ready for the year after. Unless they, you know, go out and take the job from him anyway. Did you see Gary Patterson is joining Sarkisian's staff at Texas? Isn't that kind of weird? Like the odd split from TCU and then he goes to Texas?
Yeah, what's he doing for Texas?
It just says joining the staff. Off the field role, special assistant to the head coach. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want to say he had it rolling at TCU, but it was just such a strange. I mean, he's there for over 20 years and then out of nowhere, just, done, and he goes to Texas.
Yeah. No, it's very odd.
Kind of strange.
I saw somebody say Gary Patterson to Texas on Twitter, and I was like, I mean, for a split second, I was like, did they fire Sark? Like, I thought they just, like, maybe Gary Patterson reached out and said, hey, I'll take a dirt cheap deal. And they just fired Sark and just paid him his money to leave. And they're going to let Gary Patterson run the show for, like, you know, $500,000 a year or something. Be the same, about the same as they had to spend anyway.
Looks like ESPN has done a way too early coaching hot seat list for 2022.
Okay.
In each conference. ACC in a little bit of trouble. Big 12, not so much.
He's going to assist with special projects assigned by the head football coach.
NIL stuff?
Assist with overall practice and game day preparation, statistical analysis, and video analysis of opposing teams. Assist with self-scouting of offensive, defensive, and special team schemes. Travel with coaching staff and team to provide statistical support.
Statistical support.
He's going to sit in the booth with a computer open, I guess.
Sounds like it.
Well, Sark needs some help, that's for sure.
Yeah. He's not listed as on the hot seat, but he is a name to keep an eye on, according to
this list. The old name to keep an eye on.
As is Scott Frost in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one on the hot seat in the Big Ten. They've got Herm Edwards on the hot seat at Arizona State. Chip Kelly to keep an eye on at UCLA. No one on the hot seat in the SEC. Can't remember that ever happening. But they do have Brian Harsin as a name to keep an eye on.
Well, you want some good news, bad news?
Yeah.
Arch Manning is down to two schools, according to a report.
I heard five the other day.
From Sports Illustrated.
Okay. Tennessee was not in the five.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Well, the good news is one of the two is not in the SEC.
Okay.
The bad news is one of the two you play every year and the other is about to be in the SEC. It's Georgia.
And Texas.
And Texas.
Texas, huh?
Why would you go to Texas?
He's going to go to Georgia, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's going to go to Georgia.
Why would you go to Texas? I mean, if Texas has
it's a little
really
closer
good,
to home, I guess.
If Texas has a really good year this year, maybe. But like, is that going to happen?
No. Like I mean, I don't think they'll have a very good year. I don't think they'll be as bad as they were this year. I mean, they were surprisingly bad this year. I mean, the loss to Kansas at home, Kansas was terrible. Still can't understand why they got rid of. Tom Herman had him in the top 25, won 10 games, and they said, see ya. And they went out and got Sarkisian and then failed to make a bowl game. He did recruit well, though. Finished fourth in recruiting, according to ESPN. Got Quinn Ewers. Okay.
Yeah, Texas gets Alabama at home second week of the season. Be a big one.
Yeah. Not much faith in Sarkisian winning that one, but we'll see.
Yeah, pretty tough schedule for the Longhorns. Throw Alabama on there. We know how that goes. I mean, they weren't doing that poorly this year. Really?
What do you mean?
Texas. I mean,
they started out okay. Then they got housed by Arkansas, and then it felt like the wheels came off a little bit.
But not really. Like they lost that Arkansas game. Then they beat Rice 58-0. They beat Texas Tech 70-35. They beat TCU on the road. I mean, everything's looking pretty good. They start conference play 2-0, and then they had the Oklahoma game. And remember, they choked it away. Remember, Caleb Williams came in. They had the big lead,
and then they have a running back go off in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Williams had that fourth and one play where he popped it for a touchdown. Then he threw that crazy touchdown pass in the corner. And then Texas couldn't stop Oklahoma like two long touchdown runs.
Yeah.
So they lose that game 55-48. Okay. That's a nightmare. But still, it's Oklahoma. We're a good team, especially thought to be at that time. Then they play Oklahoma State, another really good team, and they lose by a touchdown. Okay. That sucks, but I mean, still a good team. Then they have the bye week. And things just keep getting worse. You know, I have to go to Baylor, another good team, lose by a touchdown. Then Iowa State beats them, though, handily. And then the Kansas loss. And then they lose to West Virginia. It's just, I don't know, man. You had to find a way to win one of those games against the good teams. And then you probably don't lose to Kansas or West Virginia. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of being 5-7, you're 8-4. And people aren't freaking out. They're like, 8-4, okay, decent first year, no big deal.
Yeah, they'd have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Especially given the schedule.
Weird.
But you just
very weird.
You choked it. That Kansas loss, man. I mean, that takes a year off your clock, probably.
Maybe Gary Patterson can help out.
Can't hurt.
Could have been our guy.
Oh, good. Alabama's going to be visiting with Arch Manning on Friday.
Alabama. They're not one of the two. Apparently, still think they are.
Archie said, if you're a quarterback at Bama, you're going to play in a lot of big games. And I always told my boys, you live to play in big games. Thanks, Archie. Appreciate it. It's great.
You get to play in the Alabama-Tennessee game every year if you come here.
Or if you went to Alabama.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Final segment, hour number two, Thursday edition of the program. So we head towards a interesting weekend in sports. College basketball, NFL football. Gonna be good.
What? Adam McClintock, college football professor. You know, he does all like the coaching grades and everything. After this season, first at Tennessee for Josh Heupel, his career coaching grade jumped from a B+ to an A-.
Oh.
And according to Adam McClintock, that tells you that Josh Heupel is the real deal.
The real deal.
Hey, it's big time. That's A-. It's, you'll take it.
Okay. Okay. Things are looking up.
Co-first-year coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice after that, by the way, like, I know they shared it, but it seems like Beamer's getting all the credit and no one's really even talking about Josh Heupel much. Do we like that under the radar? Is that just because Beamer's such a nice guy? Everyone just wants to interview him and pump him up and Heupel's just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Is it? I mean, part of it's the Beamer name, right? Like, if he's Shane Smith,
I guess. I mean, Heupel won a national championship as a quarterback at Oklahoma. I feel like he's got some name value, right?
He does. He does.
But no lineage, so to speak, pedigree.
I do think it's kind of funny though, because, I mean, everybody thought South Carolina would be awful, but most national guys also thought Tennessee would be awful. There were a lot of, like on our show, none of us said Tennessee's going to be like embarrassingly bad, but there were blue checks out there that don't really follow.
There were a lot of Tennessee fans that thought like 3 or 4 games maybe, but that was the actual Vegas prediction for South Carolina. I had 7-5. They went 7-5.
Yeah, I mean, we all had them making a bowl game.
Yeah.
But there were some national folks that thought Tennessee could be really, really bad in Heupel's first year. Not even his fault. Just thought that's where the program was. You know, we kind of knew that. No, Jeremy Pruitt was historically bad, and you know, made a lot of these, or created a situation where a lot of these guys couldn't excel. I mean, a lot of people in the national media thought there would, like, Missouri would easily beat Tennessee at their place.
Yeah,
Tennessee rolled. A lot of national media, most national media, thought Kentucky would beat Tennessee at Kroger Field. That didn't happen either. I mean, I think those were probably the two big ones.
Is it because you won those two games early and South Carolina kind of had their wins later in the season? So everyone's opinion on Tennessee kind of changed earlier, and then South Carolina was the late surprise compared to what Tennessee did?
It might also be that by the time, like, Tennessee kind of started out of the gates, if you don't watch the games, if you hadn't watched the games at all, people just look at the scores and go, oh, yeah, that's about what I expected from Tennessee. I didn't think they beat Pitt, and Florida beat them pretty handily.
Yeah.
But when you watch those actual games, you're like, eh, Tennessee, I mean, could have won both those games, really. Mm-hmm. And then I think part of it is just name value. So Tennessee beats a Missouri team that's underperforming, but nobody really cares because it's Missouri, and who cares? South Carolina beats an Auburn team, a Florida team that are underperforming, but they...
Yeah, the name value.
Those are just...
No, that makes sense.
...bigger.
It's just funny to me. I mean, I think Beamer did a really nice job. I also think that... I mean, if you
have to look at it from a national perspective, though, and this is a good thing for Tennessee. The national media perceives Tennessee as a big time program.
Right.
They perceive South Carolina as a nothing program.
Right.
So if South Carolina and Tennessee are even in the same conversation, they're just going to give more credit to the coach that's at the nothing program. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit of Heupel is at a better place, you know. I think that's all it is. They're grading them on different scales, basically. It's like Heupel's in the honors classes, you know, and made an A-, and Beamer's in the remedial class but had a 99 average. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just not so it's, and it's like a teacher saying, I'm just so proud of you, Shane, for, I mean, a 99. That is incredible. And Heupel's over here like, my classwork is much harder than his, right. And I still, you know, made a 94. Like, what gives, you know, whatever.
I mean, is it different if you, like, if Tennessee wins the bowl game, is the conversation a little bit different? Like, did that take off a bunch of shine? Off?
Eh, maybe.
Not
so much that Tennessee lost it, but that South Carolina won.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, if you flip the results, is it the same or different? I mean, they killed North Carolina, and they probably shouldn't have.
No, the difference is when they had success, it was even more surprising than when Tennessee did. Like, I wasn't surprised Tennessee beat Kentucky or Missouri.
You were surprised?
No, I weren't. I was not surprised that Tennessee beat Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri.
I mean, I was a little surprised with the way they just housed Missouri.
Yeah.
Not so much South Carolina. Kind of expected that, especially at the time. They weren't playing very well. They didn't have a quarterback. Not surprised that we beat Kentucky. We don't lose to Kentucky back-to-back years. It just doesn't happen. But it was funny to see, like, Beamer making the rounds on, you know, some ESPN college football shows, Feinbaum and all this, and it's just kind of like, well, Heupel had a good season, too. Why are we just not talking about that? I mean, they had the same record, did they not?
I mean, I'd rather have a coach that's not on that doing that stuff and just kind of under the radar, like you said. Like, I don't want to be the hype darling anymore. I mean, I don't know. It's...
Well, and especially at a place like South Carolina, like, what's your ceiling next year, right? I mean, yeah. Same thing probably.
I mean,
you got Clemson every year. Just, I don't know. Seems like a nice guy, but the infatuation with him it's just a little fascinating.
No, I mean, to even get South Carolina as good as Steve Spurrier had him, you have to A, be a legendary football coach like Steve Spurrier was. B, have kind of a golden generation of in-state talent. C, be able to get those players to pick you over Clemson, which is much tougher now than
right.
was back in that time. And I mean, that'd be really difficult for anybody.
They finished 24th in recruiting. Well, that's not bad. Not bad for South Carolina.
No, I mean, they can usually go into, you know, they go into Georgia and kind of take guys that aren't quite good enough to play
at,
you know, tier of schools Tennessee is
bunch of guys that wanted to come to Tennessee that Pruitt didn't want helping them out too.
Well, that too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All good.
We'll come back. We'll kick off our 3 next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.